that we are just like every other community, but we've always been viewed as being very just sexual and egotistical and not being of interest in a larger level. We are like everybody else. We need to eat and we need to sleep and we need to enjoy theater and so on.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
This is Angela Davis. You're listening to CKUT 90.3.
Angela, you're one of a million of political prisoners in the world.
What could more intergenerational links look like for local queer and trans people? That's the subject of Gay and Grey Montreal's new series, Queer Elders Sharing. Trans and queer seniors share their stories through a collection of podcasts, films, and through archival history. Tune into CKUT to hear all the episodes, starting on February 22nd. In the meantime, check out Gay and Grey Montreal on Facebook to follow their launch later this month. History, advice, and connection. All on CKUT 90.3 FM.
If you're young at heart, for it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind. If you're young at heart, you can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh till your dreams fall apart at the seams, and life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth when you're young at heart? For it's hard you will find to be narrow of mind when you're young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here's the best part, you'll have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Good evening and welcome to Older Women Live on CKUT at 90.3 FM. We're feminist radio from an elderly perspective, and this year our show falls on International Women's Day. So we wish all our listeners much energy and inspiration for the struggle ahead to end all forms of violence and discrimination against women everywhere. We're a small collective of old women, and we're on the air once a month, this slot, Wednesday of the second Wednesday of the month, from 6 until 7. Today we have an interview with Margie Gillis, Canada's iconic solo dancer, into the 50th year of her career. We also have a radio piece from Brisna Kajero, a radio collective member who's bringing us news from Guatemala, her country of origin. This is the story about a fire which happened 6 years ago on March 8th and which took the lives, tragically, of 41 young girls. But let's start with Margie Gillis, who's performing here at the Agora Dance Space on Sans Urban Street from tomorrow for a couple of weeks. I'm not giving out details about the shows because all the shows are sadly sold out.
Bonnie Banks, son, Bayonne, Bonnie Bridge, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond. There me and my true love spent many happy days on the Bonnie Banks of Loch Lomond. Well, you'll tack the high road, and I'll tack the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afore ye. But where's my heart until we meet again on the bonnie banks of Scotland afore me. But where's my heart until we meet again on the bonnie banks of Loch Lomond? Birdies sing and the wild flowers spring, and in sunshine the waters are sleeping. But the broken heart will ken a second spring, though the wave shall cease from Scotland of on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
I started by asking Margie Gillis about her show.
About old, it's about being old. And I think it's pretty common knowledge how challenging it is. All the you know your wits grow dimmer. I think you just accumulate so much in life. I mean, if it was in computer context, it's like I'm my data is full. I can't download anymore. I can't upload anymore because I can't download it. We have such an intense life experience and. You know, the body starts to get frail. You have to eat differently. You have to work differently. You have to rest more. There's all those changes. The body is often more vulnerable. Your body is getting ready to stay here and let you go. And our body is part of an issue. So I think it's really common knowledge, the challenges that there are growing older and what that is. But I think there's a lot less information out there about the joys of aging and how to age well. And so that became my task and my joy. And I've had a lot of wonderful mentors and a lot of women particularly, but men as well, who've lived well into my Aunt Rhoda, my mother's identical twin sister, is 101 now.
Wow.
And she's phenomenal. And her memory is not so great, but she's standing erect. She's walking. She just started walking with a walker, but for 100 years, she was walking independently.
Incredible.
And my mother was excellent at falling. She fell all her life, and she fell right up until her death in her late 90s, at least once a week, but fell well. I mean, mind you, they were athletes as youngsters.
Certainly
they knew to keep their bodies going and to keep their bodies healthy. Too rigid and we break, too flaccid and we become subject to disease. So there's balance in there. But what are the ways? And I think, so I started writing what I call chapters, like just headlines of things like curiosity. Curiosity seems to be the most important thing. Keeping curious, keeping awake, looking for new things. So my mom, I used to say, well, do you miss this or do you miss that? No, I've got other interests now. I did that, now I'm on to something else. But that was wonderful advice and the curiosity that people that I know and people that I admire who have lived to an old, elderly age. Ways of dealing with pain, ways of yielding as opposed to going rigid, ways of dealing with balance and losing balance and recapturing balance, and ways of sort of focuses of different aspects of dealing with challenge and moving through challenge instead of to challenge, how to change your energy spectrum when you get older, how you seem to be more conscious of the interconnectedness of all things, much like when we were infants, that suddenly we feel more clearly energy differences. So if I expand my energy around me, or send it out through my arms or out through my legs, I create longer channels that I can follow through with. So if I feel I'm having a day, I've had partial knee replacements. So if I feel a day where I feel frightened to move because I'm frightened of the pain or I'm frightened of anything, then I can imagine that there is an energy behind my pelvis that's pushing me forward. And it becomes so easy then to move forward. So changing perspectives and playing with that has been a real thrill for me all my life, but particularly useful as I age. And how the skin separates from the muscle, separates from the bone. There's a fragility and a yielding and a quietness and a centeredness that can come. And I like when now that when I feel a sense of deep sorrow or something happens, I try to sit very quietly, very patiently, until the feelings get me to move. And then as the feelings move, I begin to dance the sorrow. And then it has mobility. It's no longer stuck. It's back in the rhythm and the cycle of life. It's back in the changes of seasons. And yes, there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. And yes, there's going to be terrible stresses and there's going to be extraordinary joys. And all of this will keep going and keep going and keep going until we lay the body down and move out. So, I mean, I'm freshly old. I'm only 69 and then in three quarters. But I'm excited, and I want to face my aging with curiosity and look for the wisdom and look for the joys that are present there, because we don't just get old. I mean, life wouldn't do this to us without there being some incredible gifts. What are those gifts? What are the things that we did that we're now doing the opposite of even? I don't know. There's things to learn, and I want to face that journey. I want to face that voyage. With whatever I can to see the beauty that's in it, not just the demise.
Yeah, well, you're a cultural figure, so you've got authority, Margie. How do you feel, though, about the way people react to old people?
I think that socially we need to really improve conditions for the elderly. Absolutely. We are not there yet. We need a lot better systems to support that. But the attitude on the street,
yes.
I don't care. I mean, I've had a career that was impossible.
Yeah,
when I first started, nobody was doing what I did. Lots of people said no. I said, oh, fine, you know, whatever, I'm doing this. And I did it. And then people would say, oh, well, we can't book you because solo dancers only last 2 years. It's now my 50th year professionally. So I'm accustomed in a way, and there are times when it hurts. It's coming at you, it's pressing in on you, and you really have to, it's really hard to, it can be at times really hard to stand ground, especially when your balance feels shaky, but we've always dealt with mystery. We've always dealt with opposition. Nobody gets through life without opposition. So, you know, I find the best way to change things is to basically ignore cruelty and stupidity and try to make change politically, try to advocate for change. And advocate for it from a knowledgeable place, and use people who are allies, who's an ally, who understands or who's willing to listen. And how do we change the laws and change the But people's attitude on the street, you know, the best cure for somebody who goes, oh, you're so old, is to laugh in their face and go, yeah, of course I am. Aren't I lucky? Fuck you.
Exactly. But I think a lot of people who are old internalize the oppression. I've got friends that, you know, they have their hair dyed this color and that color and the next color. I'm sorry, you're still 75 or whatever it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So they seem to fight it.
Yeah. That is their choice, and they're allowed to do that. I'm looking for an alternative, and I'm looking for a way to be that's different. I have a friend who doesn't like being called old at all, but I love and respect her deeply. But I think it's pain on the soul, that internalizing. I think that old is a thing to be discovered and not decided. And you really have to, and everybody, not including myself, goes through periods where you do feel oppressed in that way. But, I mean, look at feminism. We're just there by our fingertips. Look at all the different areas of society where people are oppressed or pushed. So how wonderful that we, too, continue, as we will, in that struggle to stand up and be authentic and find ourselves. And I think most women at menopause, suddenly you walk down the street, nobody's looking at you anymore. you disappear. And that's what old people do, is they kind of disappear. And that can be a power in itself. But if you let the oppression stick with you for a long period of time, then that's a problem. You want to dye your hair? I don't care, dye your hair. You want to, you know, dress like a 13-year-old? That's your business. You know, everybody has... My mother dressed like a golfer all her life. I don't like... It's not my style, not my couture. But, I think that again, these things happen to us, but how do we make that shift inside of us to keep our curiosity, our joy, and our authenticity? What's going to happen today? Could be good, could be bad. How will I deal with it or not? And if I get stuck or sad or it's overwhelming, which it will be at times, then how do I sit with that until it changes? How do I listen to the patience of a stone? And often it's just nice to just take a stone and put it in your hand and feel its weight and patience. It too is changing. But to feel its weight and patience, and then you start kind of go, there's a gravitas to it that is just gives you experiential wisdom. So whenever I don't know what to do, whenever I feel stuck, I do try to get out into nature or even go to a plant. I have rocks in my house. I have plants in my house. I have things that are elements of nature and this and that, so that I can have those as touchstones to remind me about what nature, which I am a part of, has to teach me about being alive. So that's it.
Yes, it seems to me that you've really delved into the spiritual aspects of life.
Yes, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in utilizing my intellect, my emotional wisdom, my spiritual wisdom, and my physical wisdom. And in this beautiful body has been so amazing to me, and it's going to change now and look like rivers and look beautiful like you are. When I was a little girl, I looked out and I did not see beauty the way I thought beauty was, and I find this beautiful. I find you beautiful. I find this gorgeous. And why not? Of course,
exactly.
It's just lovely.
Yeah, I think there's the whole ageism that we're subjected to is an expression of people's fear of death.
Definitely. I think that I know that from my community, if there's one thing that was given to my age group, it was going through the AIDS crisis and knowing that, and everybody rushing forward. So I walked my brother through his death. I was with him. I moved in. And I was with him through his death, and I was there at his head when he died. And I said I would take care of his body. I was there. I went through it. And after going through that experience, I no longer feared death. And so many of my contemporaries had to walk that walk and go with there and see that and be part of that and reclaim that back into our culture. So it's not something that just happens in hospitals or just happens away from us. Babies aren't born, you know, and everything isn't just in seclusion. And my feeling when I was with my brother as he died was that he'd left his body but had gone. It was reborn. It was a rebirth, as well as, and there's nobody in my life that I loved as much as my brother. He was my hero. He was my everything. He understood and loved me for my flaws, and he understood and loved me for my good parts. And that's the greater love, right? Being seen. And to get to have the privilege of being seen in your life by one person, at least one person. And when I'm on stage, I'm able to live life in a kind of a way that I want to, where I reveal. I do not mask, I reveal. And it takes a lot of artifice and art to take something that's spontaneous, break it down, it's natural, because you want it to be natural, and then reconstruct it so it looks like it's just being created in that moment. It's absolutely spontaneous. Of course it's not. But it is. And most people will go, oh, you're such a great improviser. No. I can repeat this. I know what I'm doing. It's just a different way of going about it, because I'm choreographing from the inside out. I'm letting the emotion become the architecture or the ideas inside. So if I was able to, so the most simple way to see how intellect or emotion become architecture or music is, you know, the rising and falling of notes. Of course, that's height and descent. Or the circular, like Bach is so much fun to dance because it's circular. Rise and fall, rise and fall, rise and fall, rise and fall. And in an intellectual pursuit, if you're thinking of something, you know exactly where you're going. You walk in a straight line, you're direct, your vision narrows, and away you go. And if you're dreaming about something, it's a lot more diffuse. It's a lot more who knows. It's a lot more sort of wandering around. So you can see how the movement, sort of the pathways on the ground floor would look if you actually left a Hansel and Gretel trail, very different, with different kind of intellectual pursuits, or emotional pursuits, much like music. Again, the rise and fall of emotion, the back and forward of it. Where does it push you? How does it create you? What does it make? What tensions does it create in your body? What releases does it afford? So I love exploring all that. That's been my life. I had a big emotional breakdown when I was 8 years old till I was 14, and I lost all my hair. But the thing that was my gift out of it, it was an extremely painful time in my life, but the gift out of it was that I watched my personality disintegrate and then reintegrate. And that gave me a lot of curiosity and wisdom about... And I know if I have patience to go through my pain. I mean, sometimes there's pain that just knocks you out, that just blurs your vision, that you just can't see your inner rage, or it's inner rage, and you're inside of it, unable to sort of scramble out. But when I can find the patience to be quiet in the inside of that, and then as I find that quiet to move inside of that, it starts to shift, and my relationship to it starts to shift, and the dimension. And I've really, really seen my brother die. I really trust that process. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm certainly not afraid of dying. Absolutely not. Nor do I want enlightenment either. I want to come back. I've got more to do. I'm definitely coming back.
Can you tell us now a little bit about this dance performance, Age?
So that's what it's based on, this curiosity. I'm just exploring different things. So it starts out, the character, being me, walks onto the stage and begins the journey, and immediately walks on a bit kind of worn out by life, and then turns and faces and walks forward, and then is dealing with just different aspects. So the whole set is a big, huge set of broken furniture that I play with and climb over and work with. And and it's all broken. It's all, like, I find it interesting from a political, social political vantage point that we're going through an era where we need to decolonize. And so this is my kind of decolonization in my body, leaving, going on to another phase, letting go, letting all this beautiful Victorian furniture just falling apart all over the place. And I love it. And I love it in its demise. I adore it. I adore this pile of broken, wonderful stuff. And it's beautifully, beautifully embraced and created by my set designer, Randall Newman. So, and I dance things of memory. I dance passages, ways of feeling the pain, and then letting the pain dance out of my body. I have a section called Sitting in Sorrow, where indeed I feel the sorrow and then allow that to move and create movement and gesture. There's also a section about sensuality, because I have no intention whatsoever of giving up my sensuality. I'm none. Yeah, I may not be your idea of sensuality, but I'm my idea of sensuality, and I love it. I love it. I love life as my beloved. You know, I don't have a partner. I haven't had a partner. My life has been dedicated to the dance, but life has become my partner, my lover, my beloved. And I like that. So there's a whole section about that. There's a whole section about changing the energy dynamics. And I don't think everybody will understand entirely intellectually what's going on, but I think there will be a deep soulful understanding. And that's, for me, the deeper wisdom anyway, the experiential, that gestalt of, I get this. You know, that there's moments of connecting. And as Leonard Cohen says, you don't want to lie to the young, so why do that? Let's just go ahead and be honest. And I'm not in my 80s or my 90s like many of my friends and my are. I just lost one of my dear, dear friends who was 98, 99, who was actor in New York and did a lot of Broadway and taught at Stella Adler, and I'd worked with her and loved her very, very deeply. And so, yeah, but boy, her excitement and her passion were what took her through to that age. And I'm with her. I'm with Betsy Parrish.
We should all be with her, right?
Yeah, I'm with that modality. So it's just playing with these aspects of aging and trying to find and figure out what they are and letting the body take over, letting it become physical, because it is about the body, it is about nature, it is about an incorporated experiential wisdom, not a discorporate intellectual. It's an incorporated intellectual endeavor, if you will. Yeah, I think that's also with all the concerns that, you know, as elder people, we look at the condition of the world and the fact that the planet and the whole thing, and we look at this and it's appalling. So how can we continue to stand in our truth and say we need more feminine consciousness, which is community and cyclical, a deeper relationship with nature, and we need to incorporate those things with our intellect so that we make choices that involve the totality of who we are, not just this abstraction that's led us to this this point of demise.
Demise, that's right.
And it's not, I mean, planet Earth will renew herself, but she'll kick us off if she has to. Obviously, I feel she's giving us lots of chances, which unfortunately we're moving quite slowly too. So we'll see. Keep optimistic and keep focused and keep doing what we can.
Well, I mean, I'm just impressed that you're so courageous. You know, that you see what's happening in the world and that you can inspire people.
I like that I can inspire and instigate people, and I love that I can touch people in their hearts where their courage is and where their beauty is. And because there's so many really, truly amazing people on this planet, truly incredible human beings. Aren't we wonderful? And some of our names are kind of known, some of our names are very well known, and some of our names are not known. Those are the really courageous people.
Thank you.
So that was Canadian pianist Angela Hewitt playing Bach's French Suite No. 2, and it was at the request of the woman that I interviewed, Margie Gillis. You're listening to CKUT at 90.3 FM, and our show is Older Women Live, heard the second Wednesday of every month. So now we're going to go down to Guatemala City and to our fellow collective member, Brisna Cajero, who has sent us a report from Guatemala City. First, we're going to play La Batucada de las Niñas, and these are angry girls, and you'll hear the anger in their voice, and then we're going to explain why they're so angry. Although we really don't hear very much about Guatemala, it is an extremely corrupt place. The people there are mostly, but mostly very, very poor. And amongst the poorest are those that have absolutely no power at all, young people, especially young women. Now, our report from Brisna Cajero talks about a fire in a children's home on the outskirts of Guatemala City on the 8th of March, 2017. So this is the 6th anniversary of this horrifying fire. What happened was that 41 young women, girls and young women, died because they were locked into a room and the person that had the key refused to open the door and let them out. So they perished, these 41 girls, and 15 or 16 others were very seriously burnt. Now, Brisna is telling us about the support and the attempts to get justice, some kind of justice, to bring the perpetrators to justice in Guatemala. But before we continue with the interview, here is Rebecca Lane singing Not One Less.
Quisiera tener cosas dulces que escribir, pero tengo que decidir y me decido por la rabia. 5 mujeres hoy han sido asesinadas y a la hora por lo menos 20 mujeres violadas. Eso que solo es un día en Guatemala, multiplícalo y sabrás por qué estamos enojadas. No voy a andar con pinzas para quien no entienda que esto es una emergencia y estamos preparadas. No soy pacifista, no me exijan cosas que no ofrezco, no pedí un pedestal ni lo merezco. Soy como las otras hartas de andar con miedo, agresiva porque es la forma en que me defiendo. No tengo privilegio que proteja este cuerpo. En la calle creen que soy un blanco perfecto, pero soy negra como mi bandera y valiente en nombre mío y en el de todas mis bisabuelas. La curandera que murió de tantos golpes porque el hombre que la amaba realmente la odiaba. La otra que fue abandonada con un hijo y cuando se enfermó tuvo que mandarlo a un hospicio. Esto va por mí porque a los 15 años me atravesó la cara un golpe desde su mano. Porque ningún humano se hizo presente el día que un delincuente me dejó el pezón marcado. Esto va por la niña de 9 años obligada a un embarazo porque la violó su hermano. Una niña sin derechos porque el clero considera que el aborto aborto es peor que lo que le han hecho. Me remito a los hechos, no voy a explicarle con dibujos a ningún macho de esos que creen que con su intelectualidad nos van a venir a educar sentados en sus privilegios. No tengo privilegio que proteja este cuerpo en la calle, creen que soy un blanco perfecto, pero soy negra como mi bandera y valiente en nombre mío y en el de todas mis bisabuelas. Cuéntanos bien, en las calles somos miles, desde México hasta Chile y en el planeta entero. En pie de lucha porque vivas nos queremos, no tenemos miedo, no queremos a ni una menos. Díganme loca, histérica y exagerada, pero hoy canto en nombre mío y el de todas mis hermanas. No nos acusen de violentas, esto es autodefensa, estamos sin resistencia, ya no somos indefensas. No, pero soy negra como mi bandera y valiente en nombre mío y en el de todas mis bisabuelas.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Older Women Live on CKUT at 90.3 FM. My name's Rosemary Wally. And at the moment, we're talking about the position of women and girls in Guatemala, the sad situation, a very sad event. We're talking about a fire in a children's home in 2017 that took the lives of 41 girls and injured another 16. And the attempts on behalf of the families and the friends and those who are supporting them to get some kind of justice for this case in a country with a lot of corruption, a lot of political, social problems.
While the Hogar Seguro should have been a place where vulnerable children and youth were protected, that was not the case. Minors there were routinely subjected to sexual violence, physical abuse, forced abortion, human trafficking, and forced prostitution, often by the staff. They also endured poor conditions such as overcrowding and rotting food. In the early hours of March the 8th, 2017, police locked a group of girls and young women in a small room measuring 7 by 7 meters. After they had attempted to escape the home. Despite their cries for help, the police would not let them out after a fire began inside the room. As a result, 41 girls and young women died, while 15 others were severely injured. Collective Ocho Tijacs, formed by 8 women at the beginning, but now 2 had to go into exile because of persecutions against them. So this collective, Ocho Tijacs, and other organizations have accompanied the families of the victims and survivors in their struggle for memory, truth, and justice. I received this communique for 2023 International Women's Day to remind us about what happened to them 6 years ago, to let us know that they continue carrying on with the struggle and requesting our solidarity. This is what the communique reads. The young survivors of the fire at the Hogar Seguro Virgen de la Asunción, the 8 Tijacs Collective, the families of the deceased victims, survivors, and the national and international friendly organizations that have monitored and accompanied the criminal case cannot and do not want to remain silent after the events related to the new suspension of the start of the oral and public debate of the Hogar Seguro case, which should have started once the intermediate stage was finished in 2018. On February the 7th, 2023, the debate was paused indefinitely after three consecutive suspensions in January, as former Civil National Police Deputy Commissioner Luis Armando Perez Boria challenged Judge Ingrid Vanessa Cifuentes for having made the decision in the last hearing that his lawyers, Julio Guillermo Rendon and Edwin Abel Gomez, could not continue to represent him because the excuses they presented for absence were not convincing and supported. For this reason, she declared them to have abandoned the process. The recusal against the judge means a prolonged pause while a tribunal hears and decides whether to continue the criminal process. Under the law, the recusal process should not take more than 2 weeks. But Guatemala's flooded judicial system has shown that it can take months to resolve. Unfortunately, actions like this by the defense lawyers have prevailed throughout the process during these 6 years since the massacre against the 56 girls inside the Virgen de la Asunción State Home was perpetrated. The hearings of the three groups of defendants have been characterized by favoritism towards the perpetrators, but also by violating the rights of the families, preventing any gesture of sadness, annoyance, or anguish in the courtroom. Even in some occasions, they have ruthlessly kicked them out or scolded them. Other times, they do not even allow access to the mothers themselves to enter the hearings, arguing about lack of space or simply for wearing a shirt with a photograph of their daughters. We publicly denounce that the current events first violate the survivors and then the families of the deceased, who claim they have no confidence in the justice system. For years, they have noticed that there is no will on the part of the justice system to have a process according to the law and without delay. In addition, they have had to fight with the stigma that society has placed on them, instead of finding empathy, solidarity, sisterhood, and support in this case, which is a strong blow to the girls and women around the world. The memory of the 41 deceased continues to be trampled on. The survivors continue to live ignored, as when public officials were never interested in their integrity, safety, and protection, leaving them in the hands of a psychopath like Sub-Inspector Lucinda Marroquin, who, being police, kept the key and, despite the cries of pain from the fire, did not open the door of the classroom where they had been locked up. No one deserves to die in that cruel and inhuman way. No adolescent deserves to be left with amputations on her body or with indelible burns all over her skin when it could have been avoided. We demand that the judicial body quickly process this new strategy of Armando Perez Borja's lawyers to delay the process, that it resolves in accordance with the law quickly and be complied with. We ask the different human rights organizations, and especially women's organizations, to support this process and to be part of this voice that calls for justice for the victims of this case, which is clearly covering up other crimes of which the public ministry refrains from investigating, such as the case of sex trafficking, trafficking and sale of infants, torture, and extrajudicial execution. The families, the survivors, and the organizations will remain attentive to this process and will continue to denounce the flawed process, the unjust processes, and the tactics that prevent justice from the 56 from being done. Guatemala, March 2023. The statement was signed by the following organizations: Colectivo Ocho Tijax, Nos Duelen 56, Guatemala Women in Resistance, Quebec Guatemala Accompaniment Project, PAQG, Rural Women's Network, Todos por Guatemala, All for Guatemala, an organization based in Canada, Committee for the Defense of Women's Rights, CODEM, Committee for Human Rights and Observatory of People's Human Rights. Thank you very much for your attention, and we hope that you empathize and express your solidarity to the 56 victims of the massacre committed in Guatemala on March the 8th, 2017. Good night.
I think many of us would agree that the world is getting more and more, well, let's say wobbly. It's getting more and more dangerous. We're feeling more and more stressed and tension. Now, in Montreal, the peace movement is no longer very active. But there is a new group that's forming, and it's called Montreal pour la Paix, Montreal for Peace. And they've got an activity which I would recommend. And it's a lecture, the three people that are going to speak, and it's going to be at the Saint-Pierre at 1212 Panay Street, which is near the front at the Metro Baudry, I think. Anyway, it's 1212 Panay, and it's just off St. Catherine Street in the East End at 2 o'clock on the 15th of April. We do have a couple of peace groups in Montreal, but they're not terribly, terribly active, and they really need, what can one say? They really need our involvement. Everybody should be involved. Now, I know that the media is really pushing the pro-Ukraine stance. First of all, Ukraine is not the only war in the world going on at the moment. There are about 20 others. So look up wars on your Google and you will find out that there are many, many, many. The advantage of a war for military companies is that they make a fortune when they sell these armaments. But I think that the people would much prefer to have housing and healthcare and education rather than spending money making bullets and tanks, which can only be used to kill other human beings. Now, if the human being is a Russian or he's a Sudanese or whatever he is, he's still somebody's son or daughter, usually son. And so I'm sure this killing must surely be condemned, even though it is being whipped up by the media. So the meeting, it's a meeting of a new group called Montreal Pour la Paix. It's going to be bilingual. And it's called, the title of the talk is Dites la vérité, say the truth, tell us the truth. And it's at 1212 Panay Street, which is the Saint-Pierre, which has been there for a long, long time. And it really hosts a lot of peace activities. And it's on April 15th at 2 p.m.
How many times must the cannonball fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? And how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? My friend is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times can a man look up before he sees the sky? How many ears must one woman have before she can hear people cry? And how many deaths would it take till we know that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Sing it, Johnny. Esta, mi amigo, está sonando en el viento. La respuesta está sonando en el viento.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Gracias a todos. Muchísimas gracias. Muy buenas noches.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
The FM band is from 88 megahertz up to 108.
We've got this frequency. We're going to call you CKUT. We've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the road and go back and pick up CKUT, clear as a bell.
Fascinating. Your analysis seems logical.
CKUT is on the air.
Well, friends and comrades all, listeners all, to Amanda Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal. I'm here tonight with Gwen, and we have quite a special show. It's been fun to put together and follow up on it. But first, before I start, Gwen, this is International Women's Day, and while our show today does not specifically feature women or focus on women, I'd like to nonetheless give a shout out about how Amanda has always focused on women in their daily coverage, and the struggle of African women is a universal struggle, particularly difficult in some of the circumstances African women face. But at the same time, it's still International Women's Day, and just today on radio here in Montreal, we got news that homeless women are now doubled and tripled since COVID has started. So it's the struggle of women is and international and universal. I don't know if you have anything you'd like to add to that kind of commentary, but Amanda,
go ahead, Doug.